Proverbs chapter 9, we'll read the entire chapter together. I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse 1. Hear the word of the Lord. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. To him who lacks sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Leave your simple ways and live and walk in the way of insight. Whoever corrects a scoffer gets himself abused, and he who reproves a wicked man incurs injury. Do not reprove a scoffer, or he will hate you. Reprove a wise man, and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be still wiser. Teach a righteous man, and he will increase in learning. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One is insight. For by me your days will be multiplied, and years will be added to your life. If you are wise, you are wise for yourself. If you scoff, you alone will bear it. The woman folly is loud. She is seductive and knows nothing. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town, calling to those who pass by, who are going straight on their way, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. And to him who lacks sense, she says, stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there, that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Gracious God, we ask that you would give us humble, teachable, obedient hearts. We ask that you would give us understanding. We ask that you would give us wisdom. Through Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Well, we've noted in our series so far that Proverbs is primarily a book about obtaining wisdom. And our short definition for wisdom, and we'll continue to flesh this out, Lord willing, as we go along, is that it is the intellectual, practical, and moral ability to navigate life well. The first nine chapters of Proverbs provide us with a collection of discourses on wisdom. They're kind of lengthy. Most of them are from a father or a father and mother speaking to their son. And in most of these discourses, and they're counted somewhere between 10 and 17, depending on exactly how you divide them up. In most of these discourses, the father is painting various pictures of wisdom. Wisdom looks like this. Wisdom looks like this. Look at wisdom from this angle. Look at wisdom from this angle. Sketches of wisdom. There are two primary metaphors that run through all nine chapters in this first section of the book. The first is the metaphor of the pathway. We looked at that last Sunday. There are two paths in the book of Proverbs. The son is walking, setting out on the pathway of life. The young boy, the young man, he's 18, 19, 20 years old. He's setting out on the pathway of life. And the father is imparting wisdom to him that his father imparted to him and his father imparted to him about the difficulties you're going to encounter, about the obstacles you're going to encounter, the traps, the enemies. Also the encouragements that if you stay on this path, it's not always going to be easy, but God will be with you. He will be your shield. He will protect. He will provide. Stay on the path. That's the first driving metaphor. The second driving metaphor that I want to look at this morning, you quickly notice in chapters 1 through 9, is that wisdom is not an abstract concept. Biblical wisdom is not about just head knowledge in theory. But you see very quickly in chapters 1 through 9 that wisdom is personified and she is described as a woman, Lady Wisdom. She is a person. who speaks the wisdom of God and points the way to that pathway of life. And I'm really convinced this is more than just a literary device. It is a literary device. It's a metaphor, but I think it's more than that. I think that this is done intentionally to reflect the essential nature of true wisdom. Wisdom, we will see over and over in the book of Proverbs, is something that is embodied. It is something that is to be lived. It is something to be experienced. You don't really know something until you live it out and experience in the real world. We'll come back to that thing, especially when we begin to talk about the relationship between wisdom and Jesus. Lady Wisdom first speaks to us in chapter 1, but she speaks most fully in chapters 8 and 9, the closing section of the first half, or the first part of the book of Proverbs. It's not until chapters 8 and 9 that we see the full beauty described. You think of chapters 1 through 7 as portraits of wisdom, little sketches, looking at wisdom from different angles, preliminary sketches of wisdom. Perhaps some of you are familiar with Ralph McQuarrie. You need to be. He is the Academy Award-winning conceptual artist behind the second greatest story ever told, Star Wars. Ralph McQuarrie is the genius, I'm dead serious, who did the preliminary sketches for the characters and the scenes in the original trilogy. These were the sketches that George Lucas took to sell the project to 20th Century Fox. And what later became Darth Vader, Chewbacca, R2-D2, C-3PO, Dagobah, Hoth. He provided the preliminary sketches, the concept art, the paintings that later turned into the true and full and beautiful masterpiece that we know today. I think a similar thing is going on here in Proverbs. In Proverbs 1 through 7, you have the preliminary sketches of Lady Wisdom, but you get her full and final and fully developed beautiful picture in chapters 8 and 9. I'll come back to that in a moment. There's another character you need to be familiar with in Proverbs. Lady Wisdom is mentioned frequently in chapters 1 through 9, but there's another lady that's mentioned. She's not the only one the son meets on the path of life. In contrast to Lady Wisdom, you have Lady Folly. Lady Folly also wants a relationship with the son, and chapter 9 presents this picture, our text this morning, of the ultimate encounter of this young man and these two women. And it makes it very clear in chapter 9 that a choice must be made. The man is walking down the pathway of life. Suddenly he sees two women and they're both calling to him for his attention. And they're saying, come to me. Come into my house. An invitation to dine. And here we are 3,000 or so years later, and we find ourselves confronted with the exact same choice. With whom will you dine? Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly? That is a choice that every person who ever lives must make. But before we answer that question this morning, let me look at three other questions. What are they like? What is their message? And what are the consequences? First of all, what are they like? Let's begin with Lady Wisdom. One of the first things you notice about Lady Wisdom is she is bold. Turn back to chapter 8, where she speaks beginning in verse 1. This is Lady Wisdom speaking. Does not wisdom call out? Does not understanding raise her voice on the heights beside the way? At the crossroads, she takes her stand beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portal. She cries aloud, to you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. She's on the hilltop. She's on the road. She's on the crossway. She's in the city. She is out there everywhere. She's not afraid of strangers. And she's loudly proclaiming the ways of wisdom. She's loudly proclaiming the way of the Lord. She's bold in her proclamation. No one can say they didn't have an opportunity. No one can say they didn't hear her. No one can say the chance wasn't there to listen to what she has to say. She's calling out. She's crying out. She's doing it loudly, and she's doing it everywhere. What else is with Lady Wisdom like? Well, we can tell a lot about a person by the company they keep, right? You can also tell a lot about a person about the company they don't keep. Look how she's described here. Take note of who she hangs out with, who she's closely associated with, and who she also stays far away from, beginning in verse 6. Hear, O fool, I will speak noble things. And from my lips will come what is right. From my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver and knowledge rather than the choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil, pride and arrogance, the way of evil, and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. Who are her friends? Who does Lady Wisdom closely associate with on a regular basis? Righteousness, truth, strength, dignity, nobility, wholesome behavior, sound advice, sound counsel, sound experience, insight. Who does she stay away from? As far as she can from evil, as far as she can from pride, as far as she can from ignorance, as far as she can from lies. Starting to get a sense of what she's like. Do you see, getting back to our definition, how wisdom is not simply an intellectual category? It includes that, but it is strongly entwined with an ethical component of righteousness. Well, what's Lady Folly like? She's only described in chapter 9, if you'll turn back to her passage. And you'll see the contrast right away. If Lady Wisdom is loud, is bold, we see in chapter 9, verse 13, Woman Folly is loud. Instead of bold, she's just plain loud. Brash. Lady Wisdom is bold in proclaiming truth. Lady Wisdom is bold in proclaiming the way of the Lord, the path of life. Woman Folly, verse 13, is loud, she is seductive, and she knows nothing. You know the type? They're loud and they say a lot of things, but they don't know anything? That's a bad combination. That's Lady Folly. She makes a lot of noise, but she knows nothing, and she's seductive. She's dangerous. We'll see. She is the complete opposite of Lady Wisdom. Verse 17. What's her message? Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. Lady Wisdom stays as far away as she can from deception and lies. Lady Folly, lies just flow right off the tongue. Stolen things are better. Stolen things taste better. That's a lie. She twists the truth. She steals. Verse 18, but he does not know that the dead are there. She murders. She's a murderer. She's a liar. She's ignorant. She's evil. She is in every way the opposite of Lady Wisdom. But here's what's so important to notice. And this really gets to the crux of the matter. Both of these women have the exact same audience. And it's this young 18, 19, 20-year-old man. Look at chapter 9, verse 4. Lady Wisdom cries out, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." Verse 16, Lady Folly, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here." They are after that young man who is not fully matured, who's right at that critical moment of development in life where decisions that he makes now could chart the course for the rest of his days. And these two women are crying out to him. In other words, they address the same audience that the father has been addressing in chapters 1 through 7. The difference is Lady Wisdom supports the message that the father has been sending to the son. And Lady Folly is doing everything she can to undermine the messages that the father and the mother have been sending to their son. And you got to remember, beneath this imagery is a message to us. And to understand it, you have to use a little bit of that sanctified imagination. You have to put yourself into the shoes of a young man starting out in life, because there's no doubt there are seductive overtones in the imagery here. These women are calling out for him to come into their homes. So put yourself in those shoes at that critical moment of development and make your decision. Who is it going to be? Lady Wisdom or Lady Folly? That tells us a little bit about what they're like. What is their message? What is their message? The contrast between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, I think, is most pronounced when you look at the content of their message. On the surface, the message is the same, but when you get into the content, you begin to dig down into it, you see that it could not be more different. Both are desiring a relationship. Both are calling out to the young man and they're saying, "Turn in here." Both have prepared a meal. Wisdom's meal is an incredible banquet and a perfect mansion. Look at the beginning of chapter 9. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. That seems to indicate perfection and just a spectacular dwelling place. She has slaughtered her beasts. She has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. But then we see Lady Folly has also prepared a meal. Her meal's a little more suspicious. Verse 17, she says, "Stolen water is sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." It's stolen. It's undergirded by a lie. And it seems to be a lot poorer substitute than the feast of wine and beasts that Lady Wisdom is offering. All kinds of overtones here of the garden, I hear. A poor substitute being offered by Lady Folly. And of course, we know in the ancient Near East, to eat with someone, to go into their home and sit down with them, was to enter into an intimate relationship. That's what these ladies are asking for, an intimate relationship. They want a relationship because it is not possible to be united to both Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. You absolutely follow one or the other. You absolutely enter into the relationship with one or the other. And the question is, with whom will you dine? Third and last question. What are the consequences? We've looked at what they're like. We've looked at what their message is. What are the consequences? Well, of course, these are not two literal women. What's going on in chapters 1 through 9 is an extended metaphor. Like I said, this is the second driving metaphor of the opening section of Proverbs. If they're not literal women, who do they stand for? Well, the key is found in the location of their houses. Look at chapter 9, verse 3 in our passage. She has sent out, this is Lady Wisdom, her young women to call from the highest places in the town. Lady Wisdom's house is in the highest places of the town. And here we need to transport ourselves back to the ancient Near East and think for a moment, what are the highest places of the town? Well, everywhere, without exception, in the ancient Near East, from Egypt all the way to Mesopotamia, the highest places with the dwelling abodes of the gods. And even if you lived in a flat place like Egypt, you built pyramids, mountains to the gods, high places to the gods. If you lived in Mesopotamia, flat as a pancake, you built ziggurats, man-made mountains, high places to the gods. Same thing in Israel. Where does God appear to Israel in the Old Testament? High place, Mount Sinai. Where does God command his people to build his dwelling abode in Israel? Mount Zion, a high place. That's always the case. The location of the house of Lady Wisdom makes it clear that she is a poetic personification of God himself. She is a poetic personification of the true and living God. And she joins a long list of metaphors. Think about this. Old Testament and New Testament, there's a long list of metaphors that the Bible uses to describe God's relationship with his people. Sometimes he's a father. Sometimes he's a king. Sometimes he's a spouse. Sometimes he's a branch, a vine. Sometimes he's a triumphant king. Sometimes he is Lady Wisdom. These all point to various aspects of God's relationship to his people. But look at this. Where does Lady Folly dwell? Verse 14. She sits at the door of her house. She takes a seat on the highest places of the town. Lady Folly is also on the highest place in the city, where she's calling to the young men walking by. She's also a personification. Not a personification of the true God, but she's a personification of the false gods and the false deities and the idols that this world offers. And she's calling out loud, and her meal is enticing. Friends, Lady Folly calls out just as loud today as ever. Loud and ignorant. Every time you go on the internet, Lady Folly is calling out loud and ignorant. Lady Folly calls out through politics, loud and ignorant. Lady Folly calls out through the media, loud and ignorant. Lady Folly calls out through entertainment, through the academy, loud and ignorant. Everywhere you turn, Lady Folly, as a false god of this world, is calling out, seeking to captivate you and enter into a relationship with you. What are the consequences of deviating from the path of life and following after Lady Folly? What he does not know, verse 18, is to enter into a relationship with Lady Folly, to enter into a meal with Lady Folly, to enter into the house with Lady Folly. He does not know her house is filled with dead bodies. He does not know that the dead are there, and that her guests are forever fated to the depths of Sheol. So when you come to the end of chapters 1 through 9 of Proverbs, you are left with a choice that you really have to make before you proceed to the rest of the book. It does no good to even begin to look at the tidbits of wisdom in chapters 10 through the end of the book, if you haven't made this choice between Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly, which path will you take? The path of life or the path of death? And Proverbs makes it very clear that that decision, and I would submit it is a decision that needs to be made every day of our lives, every moment of our existence, is a matter of life or death. Verse 6 of our passage, Lady Wisdom, leave your simple ways, follow after me, and live. That's life. Lady Folly, verse 18. He does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. That's death. That is the ultimate decision of the book. That is the ultimate decision of your life. Heavenly Father, your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And we pray this morning that you would keep us on the paths of righteousness and life, and that we would be willing to give up all that this world has to offer, that we might forever know Lady Wisdom. And it is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ we pray. Amen.